Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Part 3 continued.
I just think of one girl. We were observing a class in one of the schools in South Africa, and a particular student was just all over the place. And one would have been tempted to see the child as rebellious until you heard the backstory. And I'm not going to tell you the backstory, but it wasn't pretty. And then you begin to think that maybe someone with this kind of emotional turmoil in their life really would find it hard to sit still. And you might have a little bit more patience to protect that child's heart. Fathers, mothers, do you know your children's heart, and how do you protect their heart? Again, this goes back to that whole idea of mindsight. Ask the question, what's going on here? Rather than just react according to our program. You know, that's how we do most of life. Most of our life is done simply by reacting according to our programming. And that's where we get in trouble in relationships, because I'm reacting based on my programming and you're reacting based on your programming, and neither of us is really pausing to say, what's going on here? So you begin to see one of my key themes is it's the pause. It's the knowing our heart and the heart of the child. Only then can I protect a child's heart. One of the things about being a parent is we don't expect children to meet our needs. That is always pathological. Children are to be a blessing. And it's very important that their radar tells them that we delight in the child. One of the most difficult situations is to work with a person whom no one has ever delighted in. That's very hard to recover from. But there's a difference between us delighting in the child because of who they are and us seeking for the child to meet our needs. It is not a child's job to comfort us in our distress. That is not the child's job. And it is always hurtful to try to suck that kind of life out of a child. We serve them, they don't serve us. That's the job description. Doesn't mean we don't have them work. Chores are important. But they're working because it's in their best interest that they learn how to work. So they help with chores. They help clean up around the house. They have responsibilities. They carry part of the workload. But it's not because they're taking care of us. It's because it's good for them. To be a parent is to teach children how to return to joy from distressing events in life. There will always be the scraped knees. There will always be the scraped hearts. How do you recover from that? I mean, I can remember as, I mean, one of my precious memories is I was four, and I was about to have my tonsils taken out. So I was in the hospital, which is kind of a scary because they were going to put me under. And so I remember just asking my mother if she would hold me. So she picked me up and she held me. That was her helping me manage my emotional distress. On the other side of, it's not the child's job to take care of the parent's emotional distress. I remember playing Little League football. I must have been 12 years old, and our quarterback was a guy by the name of Frank Gasparovic. And Frank dropped back to pass, and the protection broke down, and he got hit from both sides at the same time, very hard, and went down really hard, and he didn't get up. And here comes Mrs. Gasparovic running down onto the field. Of course, Frank was mortified, as were we all for him. And I remember sitting in the car immediately after the game. Was my brother Greg, who's a year younger than I, both of us sitting in the car and getting Mom's very direct attention, and then informing her that in no circumstances our arms could be torn from us and on separate ends of the field, but she was never to come down on the field. If we were hurt, she could ask Dad to go ask the coach if we were okay. But I remember this lecture that we gave my mother. Why? We didn't want her to embarrass us because she needed us to take care of her emotions. It's always the job of the parent to help the child deal with the child's emotions. It's never the job of the child to help the parent deal with the parent's emotions. Again, it's part of the job description. All right, so those, I think, are the basic attributes, responsibilities of someone functioning at a parent level of emotional, relational maturity. And just a few minutes, and then we'll finish up, and just to talk about elder-level maturity. To be an elder in a community, and there are very few of them around, because to be an elder means I'm no longer just caring for my own family, and I'm beyond caring about myself. I give my life for the community. The role of the elder is to sacrificially care for the community. And generally, one enters into that role after your youngest child has become an adult. Sadly, our vision for becoming older is not that we become elders, it's that we return to adolescence. So very sadly, we have the typical 60-year-old who's now acting like a 16-year-old again. Rather than having grown into the level of maturity where he or she can now take the brokenness of the community and minister back grace and love and care to that community. To be an elder requires that one be able to emotionally, relationally absorb the pain of a community. And in every community, there's pain. We can't live together in this broken world as broken people and not have pain in the community. What an elder does is takes the pain into himself and then dissipates it rather than spitting it back to the community. That's why one of the chief requirements for whoever would be principal here is that they be able to absorb emotional, relational distress and not spit it back into the community. That's what a leader or an elder of a community has to be able to do. And if, whether it's a church, a school, an organization, there's a wonderful book, one of the best business books you'll buy, Good to Great, by Jim Collins. And one of the first things he talks about is the difference between a level 5 and a level 4 leader. A level 4 leader is tremendously talented, but everything's about him. A level 5 leader is tremendously gifted, but self-effacing and self-sacrificing, and is always trying to move everybody else forward. And that's what makes a great, that's one of the key attributes of a great company. A great school, a great church, a great family. So I told you before, and I'll finish with this, because I think this is the mark of a parent, and then as it grows into the an elder. The most, I've probably told you this before, but I'll end with this. Most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things I ever heard a man say was, I was 22, I had come home from college, I had walked into my parents' bedroom, and Dad was standing by the vanity, and he was shaving, and he had shaving cream on, and he was taking the shaving off. And I turned to my father, and I said, Dad, what's your vocation? What's your life about? And he stopped, he paused, he turned to me, and he said, to facilitate the ministry of my wife and children. That his whole life was about serving his wife and his children. That's why he could have a dozen children, 20 foster children, have our house as a center of this extended relational ministry. That's why when he retired, you had hundreds of people come out to his retirement party. And you had people standing up and talking about. One guy stood up and he said, you know, at these kinds of things, you're supposed to say something funny about the person who's retiring. He said, but I don't know anything funny to say about Bill St. Cyr. I said, my father's name's also Bill. He said, what I would say, though, is he is a profoundly good man. Wherever he goes, he helps. Now, that's the mark of a parent. It's the mark even more of an elder. But we don't get there without being absolutely rigorous with ourselves. Anything that's not of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, I absolutely will not make an excuse for it. It is not my best self. It is not what I'm made to be. And even if you're acting like a crazy man or a crazy woman, it doesn't justify anything less than love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness from me. It just doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't justify my response. And I will be absolutely rigorous with myself. Not that I can stop it. Those reactions, they will be long in dying. But I'll tell the truth about them. And that's how over time I will develop new habits, new ways of responding. I will take the old-fashioned term and I will call them sin. And I will take the other old-fashioned term and I will repent and move in a different direction. And that is the only path to maturity that I can see. And it's what our children need. And it's what we need for ourselves. So, I'm sure it's time for you to get back to your children. But thanks for taking the time to come out tonight.
Thank you for listening to Ambleside Flourish's series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.